You say, well, didn't Jesus come and die for whosoever will? Yes, but who will? That's the whole point. If God doesn't work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure, you will not come. No one comes unto the Son except the Father draws. And it's very plain here that He was a ransom for many, not for all. It doesn't say all. Notice that. Curious. Watch. Let me show you some verses here. Look at Isaiah 53. Can we actually have the mind of Christ and recognize these people? Of course. That's what we're working towards. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've been studying that, right? If Christ, can Christ in you still recognize people like Judas in the midst? Well, didn't I choose you 12 and one of you is a devil? Jesus discerned them. He understood. The Word of God in Jesus discerned them. Can we do that? Yes. We're growing that way. All we have to do is have the Word manifested in us, because the Word is Jesus Christ. He can judge. We can't. He can't. But the Word in us is Him in us, you see. Okay, where was I going? Isaiah 53. Okay, look at verse 8. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who among them considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of My people, to whom the stroke was due? Did you get that? My people. Jesus, when Jesus came, He said, I have not been sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wasn't offering the good news but to Israel. Why? Because they had the covenant with God. The Gentiles who believed were grafted into the olive tree called all Israel. The Israelites who didn't believe were broken off of that olive tree. Jesus is still only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do you understand that? Still. The only thing is, now He's talking about the church. He sent his disciples to not go into any way of the Gentiles, but to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And only when they started being broken off of the olive tree, called all Israel in Romans chapter 9, did God start grafting in the church, the Gentile church. And it was still called Israel. So you see, the disciples only went to Israel. Israel's just a small portion of this world, folks. Say, well, why am I going out preaching the gospel to the whole world? You are going out to preach the gospel to the whole world to find out who Israel is. If the Bible says He chose us in Him from the foundation of the world, you are going out to find out who believes. And what did He say? What did Jesus say? He that is of God hears the words of God. You're finding Israel by preaching the gospel, because the ones that hear and believe, that's them. See? Not the people that just accept, because there are some people who accept what you say, but they don't believe. They don't trust in, cling to, and rely on. They don't put that word in their heart and repent. You understand? Only the real believers repent. The rest of them are tares sown among the wheat.
That's where not casting your pearls to swine comes in, right?
Yeah. Now, how loving can the Lord be by calling these people swine and dogs? Okay? You know, He doesn't... We've heard a lie, folks. Look at verse 11 also. Isaiah 3 and verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many. Not all, many. And he shall bear their iniquities.
So
See, we thought he came to justify all, to save all. Doesn't say that in the Word. It means exactly what it says.
How many is many?
Well, it's going to be all of the elect, but that's still only many.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? Even the many that the Lord is after, who are on the narrow road, you understand? Jesus said, few there be that find it. So compared to the world, they're few.
But it's still many.
But it's still many. Mm-hmm. But compared to the world, they are few. And many are called, but few are chosen. The Bible says He saved us and called us. Folks, don't be deceived. The ones that are called are the ones that first get saved.
Someone answered your question. The sands of the sea and the stars of the sky.
Are many.
Are many.
Amen. Amen. Good answer. Well, verse 11 says very plainly that He shall justify many and shall bear their iniquities. Just their iniquities. Not the whole world. Again, I want to point out to you, the sacrifice is for whosoever will, but who will? Only those that have a gift from God. See, God grants repentance. By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's a gift from God. You see, God gives a gift of faith to the people that come. The rest don't have that faith. It's a gift. Why is it a gift? Because He foreknew them from the foundation of the world. It's a gift. Okay. Another verse. Look at Luke chapter 1. Notice these verses that are very plain that God is not loving nor seeking to save, redeeming the whole world. It's only Israel. First of all, folks, if you say this is wrong and God would be unjust, just remember He's already done this in the Old Testament. He only revealed His gospel to Israel. Only. He didn't reveal it to the rest of the world. Never tried to. Read Psalm 147. Never even tried to reveal Himself to the rest of the world, even knowing that these people were going to hell. Never tried to. They were not His. And when Jesus came, the people of God who were in rebellion and wouldn't accept Him, they were not His either. He said so. You're not of My sheep. Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for He hath visited and wrought redemption for His people. Well, that's pretty narrow-minded of Him, isn't it? His people. Verse 71. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Again, that's pretty narrow-minded. Verse 74. To grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve Him without fear. You mean God didn't offer that to the whole world? If they want, they can come get it, but they don't want. And you have to have a gift to want. Verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto His people in remission of their sins. Verse 79. To shine upon them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, the Bible says. And him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. You know that there are a lot of people that come into religion, but they're not coming to Jesus Christ. And they won't. That's why they love these convenient doctrines. They won't come unto Him. It was that way with the Pharisees. Look at John chapter 10. Now notice that we're just looking at verses here. This is all verses. I can hear somebody say, but God is not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance.
Of His people.
Actually, most people quote that, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But like Bill said, that's only talking about His people. But His long-suffering to you word, He says. He's talking about His people only in that verse. And by the way, it doesn't say willing. King James put willing. If God wasn't willing for any to perish, let me tell you, nobody would perish. Because He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And no one restrains His hand. So He gets exactly what He wants. The verse there actually says wishing. It says it in the ancient manuscript, says it in the American. He's not wishing that any should perish. And that's talking about His people. Because many are called, but few are chosen. There is a great number of what's been called God's people that will perish. They will perish. And that's the sad thing. Where was I going?
Chapter 10.
Oh yeah, chapter 10. Verse 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. Excuse me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, into the fold of the sheep, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Of course, Jesus was talking about the leadership of God's people. Interesting. It's still true today, folks. There are thieves and robbers. If you don't go through the door, God hasn't given you authority over His people. You can go get a certificate. You can get a Bible school education. But that don't give you authority over God's people. That's what happened here. These people came to a position of authority, but they didn't come through the door. And they were all thieves. And I can tell you, when the man-child ministry comes, they're going to say the exact same thing. You blind leaders of the blind, you're thieves. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name. And notice, he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he hath put forth all his own, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. Verse 26 says, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. Well, wait a minute. These people said they were Abraham's children. We're not born of fornication. We have one father, even Abraham. But you see, the real people of God, they are learners, they are followers, they will hear His voice, they will accept His doctrine. You hear what I'm saying? They will accept the true doctrine of the Scriptures. The rest of them will make up convenient doctrines. Because they have no ability to obey. The only way they can have any peace in themselves is to accept a doctrine that justifies them in their sins. Okay, another verse, 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Verse 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. They shall become one flock and one shepherd. They're going to hear. They're going to follow. You know, people like the verse. 28. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. People love that verse. But they don't read the verse before it. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Folks, the rest who've made up convenient doctrines so that they don't have to follow the Lord, they're not his sheep.
Yes, if you're abiding in Jesus Christ, there's no way anybody can snatch away. You're abiding in him.
And what is abiding in him, Bill?
That's taking on his nature, character, and his authority.
That's exactly right. The Bible says in 1 John, he that abideth in him will walk as he walked. It also says, if that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. Now, folks, you can't believe eternal security and abide in what you heard from the beginning, because it's just not in the Bible.
David, something else I was thinking about too is when you're abiding in Christ, you have to walk away from sin. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to.
Because you're walking
as he walks. You might have been doing, I mean, you feel so guilty. And so they got to shut off of
you. Well, the Spirit of Christ in you convicts you. We have people all the time that are coming asking for counseling. And what's happened is you can tell the Spirit of God is on them because they've received a conviction of sin in their life. And they really, truly want to get out from underneath the curse. And a lot of times it's not so much that they've been spanked so terribly bad, it's that they just love the Lord. And they love
yes.
the Lord with all their hearts.
Yes. And that's a gift from God, to love the Lord that way. And to love the Lord is to keep His commandments. Not justify yourself so you don't have to keep His commandments. You know, grace is God's favor upon you to be obedient and follow Him. That's what grace is. You know what most of the church has made grace? Oh, grace is so I can stay a sinner and I can still go to heaven. That's how they see grace. Grace isn't the power of God to make you a servant of His and a son of His. Grace is permission for them to live in sin. Paul rebuked that in Romans chapter 6.
Lasciviousness.
Yeah. A life of lasciviousness. Look at John 11. And 49. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it's expedient for you that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. What nation is he talking about? The nation of Israel, right? Mm-hmm. Now this he said not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. Prophesied. Mm-hmm. You know, this prophecy is true. Jesus did die. Now, they took it. They twisted it. They perverted it to do their own will. But the prophecy was true. Jesus died for the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Only the nation of Israel will enter the kingdom. Read Romans chapter 9, folks. The olive tree is all Israel. Everyone who is saved through faith and walks as disciples of Christ is grafted into that body called Israel. He called us a holy nation. Now, we're not talking about natural Israel, because we're talking about New Testament Israel, which is spiritual Israel.
They killed Jesus to save their nation.
Yeah, exactly. They became the vessels of dishonor that brought their own prophecy to pass. Interesting, huh?
Justification that is by Israel.
Yeah. John 17.
Well, see, I mean, you can look at this, and let me tell you, that will be the prophecy that will happen again. That these people will sacrifice the Christians, the true children of God, to save Christianity. In terms of what they call
Christianity.
Yeah.
Sort of like what the Chinese are doing to the home church right now. They're They're calling the home church a cult to save the state church, which is nothing but a harlot, that's what you think of the state.
State harlot, yeah.
John 17:6 says, I manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. And they have kept my word. Notice that. The ones that the Father gave to Jesus out of the world kept his word. Verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me. For they are thine. Now, isn't that interesting? That Jesus didn't love the world enough to pray for the world, but he did pray for those that belonged to him and were given to him of the Father, and he still does, folks. He only manifested the name, which is the nature, character, and authority of the Father, unto these men that were given to him out of the world. John chapter 6, I quoted part of John chapter 6 to you. I'm just going to show you where it is so that you understand. Because it's all going to be proven. Verse 37. All that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. See, it's going to be proven who the Father gave to the Son, who the Father loved from the foundation of the world, who the Jacobs are. For I am come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can we say the same thing, that we really are going to pray for the elect of God and not for the world? Folks, you can pray for America if you want. But I can tell you where America's going, down the tube. Now, there is an elect in America you need to pray for. You need to pray for those that were given to Jesus of the Father. Pray for them. Because the rest of that is not a prayer that's going to be answered. Say, David, what about my family? What about when I pray for... Well, listen. God uses our faith to bring the elect into the kingdom. He uses our faith to do that. If you've got faith for your family, then God... First of all, faith is a gift from God. That's what the Bible says, Ephesians 2:8. If you've got faith for your family, then it's not an accident that you have that gift. God put that gift in you in order to save your family. If you don't have faith, it's be it unto him according to his faith. You need to study faith. Some people don't understand what the purpose for me to find out what the Word of God has to say and to learn to stand on the promises and learn to walk by faith. Because if you don't learn to walk by faith, you're not only not going to save yourself, you're not going to be used by God to save anybody around you. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We're about to be tried in a wilderness experience. Your faith is the most valuable thing you're bringing there into that wilderness experience. Verse 44 there says, I probably jumped too far down. Let me go to verse 39. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that every one that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Listen, you can talk to your blue in the face, but if this person that you're talking to hasn't received this gift from God, it's a waste of breath. You know, there's a great advantage to understanding this, because some people, they're so self-willed that they don't give up sometimes when God would tell them, hey, look, I'm not dealing with this person. He that's of God hears the words of God. You can tell pretty quickly whether God's dealing with somebody or not.
At another point in that person's life or their walk, the Lord may be drawing them at that particular time.
That's right. It could be that God has chosen to draw them later. He can come back and knock on that door somewhere down the road, maybe, you know.
But the prodigal son, he would have nothing of his father when he left.
He had to go through the
trial.
He had to go through the swine's pen, you know. He had to wallow in the mire, you know. God's awesome. Just trust in Him a little. My point in saying all this is one thing, is that Jesus wasn't loving towards everyone. He wasn't merciful with everyone. So, David, doesn't the Bible say to love your enemies? That's exactly right, because the word agape doesn't have anything to do with emotions. It has to do with your actions towards this person. Are you, yeah, Kurt?
I was just thinking, the only one that I haven't heard you say, but it just came to my mind, was I came not to save the world, but the lost house of Israel.
Yes.
A lot of people don't understand that, what it is to love your enemy, and, you know, the difference in the different types of love. It's,
yeah.
You know. Which is kind of interesting, because the word hate, there's only one word for it, to be without love, mm-hmm. in the Greek. Mm-hmm. In the Hebrew, there's two, but mm-hmm. that's different.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, anybody have a question concerning... Again, I was pointing this out for one purpose, that Jesus wasn't wrong when He didn't show love towards the Pharisees, or the people that submitted to them, when He didn't show love towards people who didn't have a heart for God. The people that Jesus dealt with were all religious people. And it's true today that God can give us discernment to know the difference between he that's of God and he that's not of God. Let me tell you, the rest of them are there to destroy your brothers and sisters. You understand, the tares were sown among the wheat for a purpose. The enemy hath done this. Why? What point does the enemy have to sow Judas's among the true disciples of God? What point?
The deception.
He wants to destroy them. He wants to deceive them.
Also to bring us to our cross. That's what Judas did for Jesus Christ. He brought Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. And if you love the people whom God loves, what should you think about these people that have come in to deceive them with their eternal security, unconditional eternal security? Obviously, there is eternal security. But in John, the eternally secure are those that hear His voice and follow Him. They are the ones that He gives eternal life to. There is eternal security. They're just not unconditional eternal security. That's the lie. You're eternally secure so long as you abide in Christ. Mm-hmm. Eternally secure. But there is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. The Bible says He's given unto us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. You can't claim eternal life anywhere but in Christ, because the promise wasn't made to you. Did you know that? The promise was made to seed as of one. Not to seeds as of many. That point is made very clear in Galatians. But I just quoted to you 1 John 5 and 11. And the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Jesus told us that. If we don't abide in Him, we're cast forth as a branch. It's only in Him that you can claim eternal life. He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son hath not the life. Now in Galatians, he tells us that this promise of Abraham wasn't given to us, it was given to Christ. And how do we claim it? We have to abide in Him, just as we saw there. Galatians 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, all of God's promise is to Jesus Christ. That's why we're called the body of Christ. But you understand, the Bible says there's no sin in Him. The part of us that abides in Christ is that spiritual man. That's the one that has that eternal life. And we have to bear the fruit of the spiritual man to have eternal life. We have to abide in Christ to have the eternal life. Now this I say, a covenant confirmed beforehand by God, the law which came 430 years after, doth not disannul. The law didn't disannul the promise that was given to Abraham. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, so as to make the promise of none effect. For if in the inheritance is of the law, it's no more of the promise. But God hath granted it to Abraham by promise. So, Jesus Christ inherited Abraham's promise. And if you abide in Jesus Christ through your faith, you inherit Abraham's promise. But the promise is only given to one. Verse 29, and if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. So we must abide in Him, as He said in John. Turn there, John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh it away. Now we hear so much about it. Well, they just never were saved to begin with. Well, first of all, how could they be in Him? Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh it away. In other words, they don't continue in Him. You know, He said, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. You see, there are a lot of people that start out with us. Notice it. Whosoever goeth onward, John said, and abideth not in the teaching, hath not God. Many start out with you, but not many end up with you. You see what I'm talking about? So every branch in me, don't say the world is in him. This is people that were saved at one time. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. So the word of God went in their heart, renewed their mind, transformed them. The Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, which means you have to believe the truth. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? So you're clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of the Pharisees didn't do that. Doesn't do it today. Only the Word of God does, right? Through Christ. Abide in me, and I in you. He's warning them. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except you abide in me. In other words, you have to stay in him. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved, the Bible says. So neither can ye except you abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Now how can you be cast out of Christ as a branch if you weren't saved? Salvation, you know, the Bible is very, very plain. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Now I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel. That's the good news. That's the promises of God. What Jesus accomplished at the cross. I make known unto you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you received, wherein also you stand. By the way, his gospel wasn't except Jesus. You can't find a verse like that, folks. Just not in there. That's a perverted gospel by a dead church. It has no ability to follow God because they're not believers. Which also you received, and wherein also ye stand, and by which also you are. Now here's something interesting. Being saved. You say, David, mine doesn't say that. Well, being is in the ancient manuscripts. Being saved. Being is in the numeric, by which you are being saved. If, where's the unconditional part here? If you hold fast the word which I preached unto you, except you believed in vain. You know, there are people that don't think they can believe in vain. If you don't hold fast the word which Paul preached, not the word which religion preaches, because Paul never preached except Jesus. He preached, repent and believe. If you hold fast to the word which he preached, you won't have believed in vain. If you don't, you will have believed in vain. See, there are many that don't believe. They can believe in vain. And they're belief in Christ is a mental assent. It's not repentance and faith, which brings obedience. You know that the overwhelming majority of America believes in Jesus Christ? As far as mental assent, if you ask them, they'll tell you. But they're not born again. Born again is a real misnomer for most folks. Born again to them is that experience that they received when they first came to know Jesus. But born again doesn't stop there. Jesus said you had to bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Why? Because born again doesn't stop with a born again spirit. You have to be born again in your soul. You have to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. You have to continue on and walk in him. You know, if we walk by faith, if it is real faith, and not mental assent. If it is real faith, and we walk by faith, you can't miss bearing fruit. Because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. But faith is believing you have received the nature of Jesus Christ. Believing you are born from above. Not just your spirit. You know, there are many people who are born again in spirit, they will split hell wide open. I mean, even Solomon talked about the Spirit going back to God who gave it. He was talking about people who were going to be separated from that Spirit. But God gave us a born-again spirit so we could follow it as it followed the Lord and could bear fruit in our soul, manifest Christ in our character, in our nature, in our walk. Without this, we're not bearing fruit. And if you abide in Him, He said you would bear fruit. So fear not if you do believe, but fear God if your belief doesn't include walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because if you're not bearing fruit, you're not abiding in Him. And if you've got a gospel that turns the grace of God into a lasciviousness, which means a license to do what you want to do, there's nothing that does that better than that unconditional eternal security. You better fear God. Because with that doctrine, you've got no motivation to bear fruit, to obey, to be a disciple. And like the Bible says, He loves those that love Him, and those that love Him keep His commandments. Oh, you're talking about salvation by works. Yeah, I sure am, by God's works. It certainly is. By your own efforts, you can't save yourself. But you're saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. The only thing is, when God gives you a gift of faith, faith without works is dead. When you got faith, God gives you His works. He works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. When you've got faith, that's Jesus rising up in you, overcoming sin, speaking out of you, acting through you, giving you the gifts of the Spirit. That's Jesus. No, God doesn't love everybody. You can see it in the words of Jesus, in the words of all the prophets. In the words of John, in the words of Paul, we can see it. He doesn't love everybody. And the God is love false doctrine. It's just leading a lot of people to hell. True disciples are learners and followers. That's what the word means. A mathetes, a learner and a follower. And they repent and believe and bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. And He does love them. And He loved them from the foundation of the world. Because whosoever is chosen at the end because they've borne fruit, that's the ones that He foreknew from the foundation of the world. Let me point out to you, Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. For whom He foreknew. Now, some people have a false doctrine of foreknowledge here. Foreknew here means He knew you before. It doesn't mean that He knew whether you would be good or not at the end of time. Of course, He knew that. But that's not what this means. It means He had personal knowledge of you before. Before you ever existed, because God created you. For whom He foreknew, He foreordained or predestined. That means to be destined before. That's what it means. To be ordained before. Whom He foreknew, He foreordained to be conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, it's the people that are being conformed to the image of His Son that He foreknew from the foundation of the world. not the people who justified themselves so that they don't have to be like the Son. They don't have to have any works. Did you know in Galatians it calls the works of the flesh works, but it calls the works of the Spirit fruit? Did you notice that? Compared the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. Because the works of the Spirit are His fruit. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. That is the works of the Spirit. If you're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is the works of the Spirit, then you're not really walking by faith. Again, it's just a mental assent in a false doctrine. You're not walking by faith. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed, the Bible says. Verse 30. And whom He foreordained, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. So, you know, if you start in at the beginning of that verse, in verse 29, being foreknown, you end up manifesting Christ and being glorified. You say, are all called, foreordained? No. Just the one. There are many called, but few chosen. All of the chosen are called, but not all the called are chosen. The called are all of the people of God, but the chosen are the ones that bear fruit. So if you start in at the beginning of this, these are the people that He foreknew and foreordained, the ones who are conformed to the image of His Son. 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's the ones right there. The rest of them are not going to be saved. Were they saved in the beginning? Sure. They had a born-again spirit, but they never obeyed. You know what they did obey? They obeyed these false teachers, these liars. These tares have been sown in the midst for the purpose of giving them a convenient doctrine so that they can walk after their flesh. People that think they're only perfected because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's true that Jesus did perfect His own on the cross.
I was going to say that if you think about the fact that these people are hirelings and that they're violating the tithe in terms of what Jesus said for those that were His disciples. They're actually being paid to say what they say. That's their reward.
Yes.
If they don't say the right thing, they don't get paid because they have no flock because they'll desert them. So they are definitely a hireling.
You know what's amazing is that some of these preachers, for instance, a Lutheran preacher, I heard him preach on faith, and I knew that he knew the scripture about God heals by faith. Mm-hmm. But he didn't go that far in his sermon. He said, well, you know, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor, you know, you go ahead and go to the doctor. He didn't say, well, you know, it would be unto you according to your faith. And I could feel it, that he was holding back. And I was going, man, go for it. You know? But like Bob said, you know, he's going to lose his parishioners. Because they're in the world. And so...
You lose your flock if you tell them. You'll lose definitely your doctors.
I mean, how can you study?
You'll lose your lawyers after that.
How can you study the scripture and not pick up on it?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not?
Well, because some are actually being drawn of the Father. Mm-hmm. And for other people, this is it's a job.
Yeah.
It's just a job. And they're, like Bob's saying, they're hirelings.
Right.
Now, Jesus chose the leadership of the church. But they didn't come up another way like the Pharisees and Sadducees did. It's amazing if you just compare the leaders of apostate Christianity, they came up the same way that the Pharisees and Sadducees did. They're thieves and robbers too, folks. Number one, they're hirelings. They're not freely giving. like Jesus commanded his disciples to do. Number two, they got their position the same way the Pharisees and Sadducees did. They didn't have to go through the door. They didn't have to be an overcomer. They didn't have to walk in the steps of Jesus to get there. In fact, they don't even believe in walking in the steps of Jesus. How could they possibly be chosen and sent by God? The church is in great apostasy. The tribulation is going to cause some people to re-examine their doctrine. Thank God. We have some brethren who are still in the world. I'm not saying they're in religion, but they're still in the world. They've not come out to abide in Christ. They're still in religion, but they haven't yet come into Christ. They're not abiding in Him. To abide in Him is to walk as He walked, folks. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, Terry?
I have a lot of people in the Eastern Times on that one. And they have lots of questions, but I might get to them before they have to go.
Okay.
So they're asking if you could email them if we get to their questions later.
You want to email me? Oh, please don't do that.
No, if you would email them.
Or we
can get to them.
I have to tell you that the reason I send out so few emails nowadays is I get too many back. I'm telling you the truth. I'm swamped. I've tried to send out hints to people that I'm getting too many emails, but some people don't take a hint very good. I have to tell you, I'm swamped. I don't have time to do other things that God's calling me to do because I'm getting so many emails. But thank God that some folks have jumped in to help out and I'm taking some of the load off of them because I can't imagine what it would be without them right now. But
ask a question, Jerry.
Yeah, you have a test question, Terry?
We have lots of questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we might not get all of them tonight, but Lord, give me grace.
Okay. This one person's got to go soon. Just asked, in a recent Bible study that she was in, a sister in Christ asked if Ananias and Sapphira were ultimately saved. Most of the study felt they would be... that they were destroyed, killed physically, but not eternally, since they were believers and fell into sin. Your thoughts? So another one that spoke against the word or against the church.
Well,
the Holy Spirit, not the.
You know what? I'll tell you what I think. I think that the church in those days was very holy. God jealously protected it from people who would come in who were not who they appeared to be.
There was anointing.
I believe that Ananias and Sapphira were not who they appeared to be. That they were a plant. The devil was attempting to plant them in the church. And God was so jealously protecting the church because they were holy, because they were walking in the full gospel, because they were walking by faith, because they did have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them. He was protecting them from these people who lied to the Holy Spirit and to the apostles. I don't think they were who they appeared to be at all. And the devil, while men sleep, the devil sows tares among the wheat. Now let me tell you something, folks. Tares can't ever become wheat. You understand? They are not wheat. They are a whole different plant than the wheat. They can't bear fruit.
You can't sew a silk purse from a sow's ear.
Yeah.
Huh?
You can't sew a silk purse from a sow's ear.
Okay.
Judas, who...
can't get whiskey from wine.
Who was among the disciples, was a devil. From the beginning, Jesus said. Well, now wait a minute. Does this mean he wasn't saved in the beginning? I mean, obviously God foreknows. He knows what you will be and all those things. But does this mean he wasn't saved? How in the world was Judas going around there casting out devils and healing the sick along with the rest of them? Nobody got suspicious of him. He obviously was doing those things. And Matthew 7 tells us that there are many people going to come to Jesus. Didn't we do many mighty works in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You mean there's people in the church that are doing the works with the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes, but their works were evil. They were not repenting in their own life. You know what, folks? Gifts are wonderful. I mean, God uses them to provide for the church, to evangelize the people of the world. He uses them for that. But it doesn't matter how many gifts you have. If you don't have fruit, you're not entering the kingdom.
That's the next one. Can you explain what fruit is?
Fruit is Jesus Christ. Fruit is in the parable of the sower, was fruit that came from the Word which was sown in their heart. The Word is Jesus Christ. And the seed was the sperma. The word sperma, the Greek word sperma. The seed was sown of the Word was sown in their heart to bring forth the fruit of Jesus Christ.
In the good ground.
So, actually, God wants to grow Jesus in you. If you're good ground, like Bob said, then the seed of the Word, who is Jesus Christ, will be manifested more and more in you. And the rest are tares. You know, there is another Jesus out there, obviously.
You know, it's interesting when we look closely at that. We have people that come a lot of the time for counseling, and what I'll do is I'll refer them to different counselors. And one of the things I try to really point out is that what you're going to hear from when you hear back from these people is first that they're going to speak as an oracle of the Word of God. They love God's Word, and they lift it up above everything else. What's happened here is that these elders mature in the Lord. They have received the seed in good ground. They respect the Word of God. A big part of the problem of what we run up on is that in religion a lot, they have a lot of doctrines of man and whatnot, but there's no earnest love for the Word of God. People, that is what has got to completely change. There is no Jesus without that bears the fruit of Christ in you unless you sow the seed of the Word of God in your heart. For anybody that you reach that's lost, pray that they will receive the Word of God earnestly in their heart, if it's your own children even. That's what's going to bring forth the fruit of Christ in them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, when it's all over, it's only going to be those that are born fruit. They're going to be picked for the kingdom. And the rest are going to lose even that which they do have, according to what Jesus said. Even the fruit that they do have will be taken away from them, as we studied in another study. Multitudes, folks, I tell you in the name of Jesus, multitudes of people who have unconditional eternal security will take the mark of the beast, because they've always walked after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh anyway, which is the spiritual mark of the beast. They will take the mark of the beast. And God will cleanse His kingdom of all the lukewarm people. They're going to be spewed out of the body of Christ, according to the book of Revelation. A great falling away. How can you have a falling away except someone was actually in Christ at one time? Like John 15 says, they're cast forth as a branch. Question? You have another question, Terry?
Yeah. Well, another thing too about comment you just made, something the Lord shared with me before I got here, was James 1 and 26 through 27, about religion, about how, you know, if any think that they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, deceive themselves, and deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep one unstained by the word.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to keep the word regardless of what you feel in your heart, what you feel in your emotions. It's the word of God regardless, no matter what your feelings are.
Mm-hmm.